Well, thank you, and thank you all for your presence here today, for giving your time and attention to honor God and His Word and seek and serve Him together. So glad you're here. You know, I can sympathize if you got up this morning, got ready, came to church, and you open your bulletin and discover a message on fasting. Oh, no. I mean, I can sympathize if you feel that way. Hopefully, you're intrigued by the topic and want to discover what we have to say. But, you know, you might be thinking, well, that's just really not for me. So there's probably not really something for me this morning. Well, think again, please. This topic of fasting touches so many other areas that I believe the Spirit of God has something for each one of you this morning. This topic of fasting touches how we think about God, what worth and value we place on God. It touches how we view ourselves and our needs, and it touches how much we trust God. So, what is worth missing a meal for? What is worth giving up a day or part of a day of social media for, or television for, or what's worth giving up a day or part of a day on working on your hobby, or going out to eat, or shopping, or some other pleasure or luxury? What would you voluntarily, temporarily give up for $1 million? For $1,000? For $100? What would you voluntarily, temporarily give up for your health? Or for a friend? Or for a good book or good music? What would you voluntarily, temporarily give up to seek God and connect with God? As we study the Bible, we frequently bump into this practice of fasting, missing a meal or some meals in order to devote time and focus energy on prayer. Missing a meal or some meals in order to devote time and focus energy on prayer. Fasting seems strange to modern Americans, but Jesus himself included fasting in a group of ways that we connect with God: giving, praying, and fasting. Jesus talked about all three of these things and gave them all three equal weight in Matthew chapter 6. So I'd invite you to look there this morning, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to think about this intriguing, perhaps perplexing subject of fasting. And as this message progresses this morning, I'd encourage you, challenge you to grab on to at least one thing that you realize, oh, yeah, that's for me. That touches my life. I need to think about that. So be watching and listening for that one thing that you're going to take home is going to be your takeaway today. So Matthew chapter 6 is part of Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins with Jesus challenging us to think differently about ourselves, thinking differently than our natural inclinations. So Jesus starts with what we know as the Beatitudes, and they call us to think differently about ourselves, not proud and gaining for ourselves, but thinking of ourselves as humble and grieving over sin and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But then Jesus challenges us to think differently about other people. So he talks about not just don't murder, but also don't be angry. Guard your spirit as well as your actions. And not just don't commit adultery, but control your lust. Limit yourself in order to have a pure relationship, and so on. Six different contrasts Jesus goes through to help us think differently about others. And then, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus challenges us to think differently about God. Thinking differently about God. So Matthew chapter 6, we read this: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. That's the theme, that's the principle that then the next 18 verses talk about. So he's going to talk about practicing your righteousness for God, not for others, in the matter of giving. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. In the matter of praying, and we've talked about that. And then today, in the matter of fasting. Fasting. Yeah, it's unusual, it's odd for modern Americans, but it's here in the Bible, in Jesus' words, in parallel with giving and praying. So, Jesus' point is that if you want to connect with God, you need to think differently about it. So we've talked about giving, we've talked about praying. Today, let's talk about fasting. So down to verse 16 of chapter 6. Matthew 6:16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Wow. Tremendous, tremendous verses and promises. And those verses are very, very similar to what Jesus already said about giving and praying. Don't do your righteous acts to be seen by people. That's what the pagans and hypocrites do. They turn what should be a connection with God into something self-serving and routine. Jesus says, beware that you don't do that. So in this matter of fasting, he's saying, you know, people misuse this. They want people to see how great their sacrifice is. Oh, look at me, how much I sacrifice and how much I'm willing to deprive myself. And Jesus says, no, don't just do it secretly between you and God, your Father, your loving Heavenly Father, and He will reward you. Wow, that's just tremendous. When you give and pray and fast, do it between you and God, your loving Father, will see it and reward you. Tremendous promises that Jesus applies to all three of these areas, giving, praying, and fasting. So the big idea is God is not looking for us to jump through certain hoops and call attention to our religiosity and piousness. No, God is looking for hearts that are willing to seek Him and follow Him and obey Him if nobody notices or not. Now, it's been disconcerting to me how many books on the Sermon on the Mount that I looked at and how many sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount that I perused online that completely skip over this matter of fasting. And I wrestled with that because Jesus talks about all three the same: giving, praying, fasting. So if we teach and encourage people to give and to pray, shouldn't we teach and encourage people to fast? Now I know it's a much less common practice than giving and praying. But because Jesus talks about all three of them and holds them up equally as ways we connect with God and as equally misused and equally in need of correction, it seems to me that we should think about it. We should talk about this matter of fasting. Now, we did talk about fasting 2 years ago. We talked about some of these same things we're going to mention today. Right before our wild game feast, we challenged you and encouraged you to practice to do some kind of fasting and prayer before that event. And wow, God answered. God heard and answered it and gave that event tremendous power and significance. But let's think about it again today, because it comes up in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Just as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, here it is, fasting. So what is fasting? Fasting is the voluntary, temporary giving up of something needed and good in order to seek God in a concentrated way. Fasting is voluntary, temporary, giving up of something needed and good in order to seek God in a concentrated way. Now, we see fasting throughout the Bible. Hannah fasted out of emotional perplexity and deep grief and spiritual burden. Samuel fasted for revival. Jonathan fasted out of anger over his father's sin. Daniel fasted because of a consuming spiritual burden. Ezra fasted to solve large and perplexing problems. Jesus' disciples fasted to break sin's power. Paul fasted for spiritual insight. Jesus fasted for strength and spiritual conflict, to keep on mission when he was pressured not to, to keep his eternal perspective, and to break the power of the world and temptation. And all of those are good reasons for us to fast as well. The principle of fasting is this: giving up to gain. Giving up to gain. That's the principle of fasting that I believe God encourages us to use in ways other than just food. Yes, the normal definition of fasting is missing a meal or more, but the principle applies to other areas which we see throughout the Bible. The principle is giving up to gain. So flip over in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be back to Matthew 6, but Philippians chapter 2, and actually we're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning that touch on this matter of fasting to give us an overview, a big picture of fasting and what it means and why we would even want to do it. So Philippians 2 and verse 5. It's going to give us this grand, marvelous illustration of Jesus and the principle of giving up to gain. So Philippians 2, 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. You know, it's a poetic way of saying he didn't have to try and get equality with God. He had it. It wasn't a thing to be grasped. It was something that he had. But, verse 7, but emptied himself, and taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men, he emptied himself. It was voluntary. He chose. It was his choice. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, again voluntarily, and was made in the likeness of men. And verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus understood this principle of giving up to gain. He voluntarily gave his life so that he could gain the salvation of you and me and all who believe, and so that he could gain the glory of glorifying God on earth. So the three things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, giving, praying, and fasting, are all ways that we practice this principle of giving up to gain. And friends, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth whatever sacrifice we might make or be called upon to make. Sacrificing your money in giving and other things that you could do with that money. Sacrificing your time in prayer and other things you could do with that time. Sacrificing even your necessary food in fasting. Jesus is worth the sacrifice. Earnestly seeking God is worth sacrificing for. So in the familiar words of Romans 12:1 that we heard read just a few moments ago, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. How would you present your body a living sacrifice? Well, fasting is a small way to do that. It's a small way of giving ourselves as a sacrifice to God. And it's my fervent prayer this week and this morning as we come to this message that this message will not just be a lesson on an obscure practice done by super saints in desperate times. No. My fervent prayer is that this message will open all of our minds and spirits to the possibility of applying the principle of fasting in our experience of connecting with God. So just as we connect with God through our giving, just as we connect with God through our praying, we can connect with God through our voluntary, temporary giving up of something good and needed in order to seek Him earnestly. I have fasted at some very crucial moments in life and seen God work by giving clarity and direction. And I've fasted on other occasions when it just sharpened me spiritually. And so we see fasting throughout the Bible, but should we fast today? Well, I'd like to pull together this morning several key scriptures. So we're going to use our Bibles. Key scriptures throughout the Bible about fasting. Fasting is common in the Bible, but we should note that there is no specific New Testament command to fast. We're not commanded to fast. I think God gives us the opportunity and invites us, but it's not a command. So, in that sense, yes, there is a difference between, if we think about these three things in Matthew 6, giving, praying, and fasting. There is a difference. Giving and praying are commanded elsewhere in the Scriptures. Fasting is not in the New Testament. But nevertheless, even though there's not a direct command in the New Testament, Jesus assumed His disciples would fast. So should we fast today? Well, Jesus assumed that we would. I mean, that's what we read in Matthew 6. He said, when you fast. He didn't say, you know, if you fast, if you do this super spiritual thing. No, He said, just when you do it, this is how you should do it. So He assumed that His followers would fast. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is really an interesting, intriguing passage. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 14. Matthew 9, 14. Then the disciples of John came to Him, that is to Jesus, asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? It's a good question. Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. When are the days when the bridegroom is taken away? It's when Jesus went back to heaven. And he's assuming that we will fast, that his followers will fast. And second thought, fasting was the custom of the early church. Should we fast today? Well, Jesus assumed that we would. And fasting was the custom of the early church. So flip over to Acts 13. Told you we were going to use our Bibles today. That's a good thing. Acts 13. Acts 13, 2 and 3, these verses show us that the early church fasted for spiritual discernment and major decision-making. Acts 13, verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, it was the custom of the early church to fast, and out of that time of fasting, they sent out the first missionaries. They sensed God identifying those individuals and the church sending them out. Fasting was not just for them back then. It is a spiritual discipline that helps us connect with God. And rightly understood and rightly practiced, fasting is a spiritual exercise that helps us connect with God. So Jesus assumed his followers would fast. Fasting was a custom of the early church. And fasting has continued to be practiced in Christian history. Just a couple of examples. Andrew Bonar is a pastor and spiritual life author in the 1800s, he said, "Fasting is abstaining from all that hinders prayer." Wow, I like that. Interesting. Fasting is abstaining from whatever hinders prayer. So, not necessarily just food. Could be other things. And then again in the 1800s, Phillips Brooks was an American pastor. He was a leader of pastors. He's the one who wrote the Christmas Carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. He articulated the principle of fasting when he said, "Fasting is the voluntary disuse of anything innocent in itself with a view to spiritual culture." So with a view to developing spiritually, disuse of anything that might be innocent in itself, but by putting that aside, you can seek spiritual development. That was his point. So both of those giants of the past, Andrew Bonar and Phillips Brooks, leaned into the principle of fasting. That is, they understood fasting to be more than just about eating. It's a bigger idea. It's a spiritual purpose and general principle that may involve other things besides food. And Christians through the centuries have discovered the tremendous blessing and benefit of applying the principle of fasting to other things besides just food. In order to devote time and focus energy on prayer and spiritual development. So, you know, there may be some health benefits to fasting. There may be some mental benefits to spirit benefits to fasting from social media or other things like that. But the point is to do it for spiritual development so that you can devote time and focus energy on prayer and your relationship with God. Giving up to gain. That's the principle of fasting. Voluntarily, temporarily giving up food or something good and needed and pleasurable in order to gain spiritual goals and values. So what's worth sacrificing for? What's worth giving up so you can gain something greater? What would you be willing to give up temporarily in order to connect with God? Fasting will help with that kind of earnest spirit prayer that we need. So, let me share with us this morning 10 good reasons why we should fast. 10 good reasons why we should voluntarily, temporarily give up something needed and good in order to seek God in a concentrated way. Now, you might be looking at the outline in the bulletin and you see that it's front and back. 25 blanks to fill in, and you're thinking, what in the world is Pastor Tim thinking? We're going to be here all day. Well, yeah, if you've got a roast in the oven, it's probably going to be burnt by the time you get home. But that's okay, because after this message, you're going to want to fast anyway. No, just kidding. Just kidding. It's not going to be that long. The outline essentially is the message this morning, so we can move through these 10 points fairly quickly, and you'll still be able to enjoy your Sunday dinner. I hope a message about fasting won't spoil your Sunday dinner, because really, as we'll see, really fasting should be something you think about and plan on, not just something that you kind of spontaneously do because you felt the guilt of it. So here goes, 10 good reasons why we should fast. Not to earn merit with God or impress God or people. And that is exactly what we already read in Matthew chapter 6. What Jesus is saying, don't fast like the pagans to put on a show of how spiritual you are, but do it in secret between you and God. So don't turn fasting, or as we've seen, giving or praying, don't turn it into something self-serving. Fasting is not a way to twist God's arm and talk him into doing something. It's not a hunger strike. It's not a demonstration. Okay, so why fast? Number two, it shows God. Oh, I got these out of order. It's a biblical New Testament spiritual discipline. And we've already seen that in Matthew 9 and Acts 13. It's a biblical New Testament spiritual discipline. Normal practice of New Testament believers. Number three, it increases our spiritual sensitivity. And again, we saw that in Acts 13. It was while they were fasting that God said to them, send out Paul and Barnabas. It increases our spiritual sensitivity. It just kind of sharpens you. And I certainly found that to be true. Number four, it shows God that we are serious and earnest. It shows God that we are serious and earnest. We're not just casual about our relationship with him, but we're serious about it. And that we want him more than pleasures and even necessities. It shows that we're willing to sacrifice for God. So, we put the Old Testament verses up on the screen for you. Joel 2, 12 to 14. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and tear your heart and not merely your garments. In other words, the heart, not just the outward form. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, and relenting of catastrophe. Who knows? He might turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, resulting in a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So fasting demonstrates to God that you're serious, that you're earnest, and that you want him more than pleasures or even necessities. Job 23:12, I have not failed the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So fasting shows God that we think of him and his word more highly than even our necessary food. shows God that we're serious and earnest. Number five, why fast? It keeps the spirit in control and the flesh subdued. Keeps the spirit in control and the flesh subdued. By fasting from food or from anything, you're saying, I'm in control. I'm not going to be controlled by my flesh. I'm going to be controlled by the Spirit. So, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Flip over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And the last verse of that chapter, 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So he says, I discipline my body. I keep the spirit in control of the body and the flesh, and fasting helps us do that. And then 1 Corinthians 6:12, I'll just read that to you. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So fasting helps us control the flesh, not let the flesh control us. I think we've largely lost in America a sense of sacrifice, a sense of the freedom and joy and power of voluntarily sacrificing ourselves. Because in America, it's like, you know, any discomfort, well, you take a pill, or it's somebody else's fault and they need to pay for it. Any discomfort. I mean, it's so bad in America. It's come to the point where if you're uncomfortable with your gender, you can even change that. It's crazy, really, that we've lost this sense of sacrifice for greater gain. It's just all about me, me, me. So a couple of days ago, Judith and I were at home individually reading, and all of a sudden, she says, hey, listen to this. And she reads me a paragraph from the book she was reading. And I'm listening, and I said, wow, I got to copy that because I need that Sunday. That's what we need to share Sunday. So here's what she read to me from the book she was reading. In our self-absorbed world, one of the chief problems I've seen is misappropriated pride that results in self-pity. Pride and self-pity are alternate sides of the same coin. They devastate our relationships with God and others. Numerous studies and books illustrate how our culture has drifted or sprinted toward a victim mentality in the past few decades. And then the author quotes a social scientist who says that we've shifted from self-sacrifice thinking in post-World War II era to self-indulgence today. That is so true, and that's right on. That's where we're at in America. And you see, fasting, whether it's from food or from something else that's good and fine and right, but we voluntarily choose to not do that, it's a form of sacrifice that keeps us from just falling into that, I've got to have what I need, and I'm the victim here. Everybody else needs to be taking care of me. And it helps us break that mentality and get back to the idea that sacrifice is a good thing. It gives freedom and power and joy. Well, number six, why fast? It demonstrates our dependence on God and our realization that it is He who meets our needs. It demonstrates our dependence on God and our realization that it is He who meets our needs. Beautiful verse, Psalm 123:2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, As the eyes of a female servant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us. A servant in that era, in that Old Testament economy, totally dependent on their master or their mistress for everything. And that's the attitude, the mindset that we should have to God, looking to him to meet our needs and care for us and give us what we need. And so fasting demonstrates that dependence on God. It's saying, God, I trust you to provide what I need. Instead of me having to scrape to get what I need, no, God, I trust you. And I realize that you meet our needs, and I'm acknowledging that in a form of worship to you, God. And by the way, after a day of fasting, you're much more thankful for your daily food. Makes you much more thankful for what God provides. Number 7, why fast? It demonstrates that spiritual values are more important than physical and material values. It demonstrates that spiritual values are more important than physical and material values. Physical and material values are worth sacrificing for the sake of spiritual values. That's what it helps impress on us. Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is a person who finds wisdom, and the one who obtains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her produce better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. So when we voluntarily, temporarily choose to put aside something physical and material in order to seek the spiritual, it's a way of reminding ourselves that spiritual values are of greater worth than material and physical values. More important. And number 8, why fast? It renews and refreshes us both spiritually and physically. Fasting breaks the spell of the world over us, and it prevents luxuries from becoming necessities. Like, I have to have this. No, do you really? No. Fasting breaks that mental rut that we get into that makes luxuries into necessities and holds power over us. Number 9, fasting also focuses and intensifies our spiritual energies and desires. Focuses and intensifies our spiritual energies and desires. So when we're not using spiritual energy on our own needs and desires, it frees us to focus energy and on spiritual needs and desires. And finally, we should fast because fasting identifies with the sufferings of Christ. It helps us identify with the sufferings of Christ. So look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3:10. In the verses before this, he's talked about counting all things but loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. So we can sacrifice some things because of a surpassing value. Then he comes to verse 10 and says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The fellowship of his sufferings, entering into Christ's sufferings. I mean, how can we do that? Well, fasting is just a very small way of entering into and appreciating, identifying with Christ's sufferings. I mean, whatever suffering we might experience from fasting, from food, or from anything else, I mean, that's nothing compared to what Christ sacrificed for us. But it at least reminds us and helps us enter into Christ's sufferings, that suffering is worth it for greater gain. So fasting is just a small, small taste of suffering that helps us identify with Christ's sufferings, and Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. He's worth sacrificing our money in giving, our time in prayer, even our necessary food in fasting. So I've given you on your outline in the bulletin just some quick ideas for practicing the principle of fasting. Just run through these quick. Fasting from some meals or for a special day to seek God for a special burden or need or request. So it's voluntary and it's temporary, but it's for the purpose of seeking God for a special burden or need or request. Or maybe just fasting from one meal a week or one meal a month to seek God. Or another idea, limiting yourself for a time to non-tasty nutrition. So you're not eating because, wow, this is good, I love this, but you're just eating for nutrition and basic strength. Daniel actually did this in Daniel 10:3. It says that he abstained from tasty food. It's a form of fasting. Another possibility, idea, I'm just throwing out ideas here to try and spark your mind of other ideas, but another idea is fasting from desserts or sweets, or fasting regularly from social media or television or something similar, something that is significant to you, meaningful to you, and that feels like a sacrifice, but you're willing to do it in order to seek God in a concentrated way. Just be careful with fasting from food if you have a health issue. Don't be compulsive about it. So I hope that this message this morning has not just been a lesson on an obscure exercise practiced by a few super saints in desperate times. No, I sincerely hope that many of you will try fasting or some form of fasting, or be encouraged to continue if this is something that you've done. If you're fasting from food, just start with one meal or at most one day. You know, again, don't get compulsive about it and think you got to do a 40-day fast like Jesus did. No. Start small. And I hope that many of you listening will pick up the principle of fasting that applies to other things that you can temporarily lay aside in order to pray and seek God. A pastor in the Chicago area a few years ago confessed his faults in a sermon. He said that he remembered a time when he and his wife had four kids under the age of six. And he said this, and I'm quoting, he said, "Nobody told me how hard that was going to be. I didn't think kids were going to be hard." He said the six-year-old, the four-year-old, the two-year-old, the baby all needed him. And it was even worse for his wife. And they weren't getting any sleep, and they weren't getting anything done. And he said, "I remember being in this utterly desperate place, no sleep, and I remember saying to the Lord, 'This is like a prison. I mean, I can't get out, and it's every day, and they keep needing so much.'" But as he prayed that desperate prayer, suddenly a thought came to him, which means God answered his prayer. As he's praying, God gives him the thought, the realization that he realized that he could choose. He had the freedom to choose. He could choose to sacrifice himself for his children and his wife, sacrifice what he wanted to do and what he thought he needed. He could choose to sacrifice that, or he could choose to be bitter and whine out of self-pity. He realized he could choose. And he reported that it was so freeing. It was just tremendous freedom to realize that he could choose. And that in choosing to sacrifice for his family, he found new strength for the task and new joy in doing it. Instead of seeing the things in his life that were happening to him as burdens and problems, he saw them as opportunities to sacrifice. And you are free to sacrifice. And fasting is choosing. It's voluntary. Freely choosing to sacrifice things that would benefit you. And doing it for a greater gain. Fasting is the voluntary, temporary giving up of something needed and good in order to seek God in a concentrated way. And like that pastor, maybe there's something in your life today that you could either view as a sacrifice or as a burden. That you could view as a form of fasting or a form of deprivation. You get to choose. Fasting reminds us that when everything in life is stripped away, when all the stuff we think is so important is stripped away, and it will be someday, there is one thing that will remain: the supreme worth of knowing Jesus Christ. So maybe today you feel pretty good about your life, or maybe you feel like your life is a train wreck. Maybe you have fresh enthusiasm in your Christian life, or maybe it's grown stale. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you need to come to Christ for the first time today. Wherever you're at this morning, whatever the sacrifice, Jesus is worth it. Let's bow in prayer.